This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station. Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Red Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Well, no. At the time, it was just me. My mom's back in Puerto Rico.
Oh.
So,
what do you do?
The Lord told me to stay here. I could go back to Puerto Rico and be with my mother, my family, or New Hampshire. I have a brother in New Hampshire, but the Lord told me to stay here with my spiritual family to hear the word. He didn't want me to be in the world because my family, they're not, most of them are not Christians. So I decided to follow, you know, be obedient, stayed here. And God said that we were going to go to trial. 9 months after all of this happened, I was able to go to trial.
And what happened?
And I was acquitted.
But how? How could you prove your innocence? How could you prove that you didn't do that?
Well,
to be falsely accused, that's like Jesus. I mean, to be falsely accused, that's a horrible thing.
Yes. Yes. 9 months, 8 months after. Well, I was battling for 8 months with my attorney, the attorney that I hired right away.
You were what?
It was like I was telling him that I want to go to trial. God said that I had to go to trial, and he kept telling me you should not go to trial.
Why?
Because how am I going to prove it? Same thing. Yeah, he kept saying, just go ahead and take a plea with the court.
No.
And I kept telling him,
no, you don't
God
take a plea.
Said,
you're not guilty. No.
No. So I was like, no. God said, and he kept saying, don't tell me that God told you that. You've never had any problems with the law. You need to take a plea. It's going to be bad. And I kept trusting the Lord.
Good for you.
So 8 months after having this struggle of, you know, like trying to convince my lawyer, which is pretty bad when you have to convince your lawyer that you didn't do something.
Should have fired him.
So God introduced me to a Christian lawyer.
Ah, so you fired the other one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I ended up going to a trial with my attorney, Chris Walsh. He is a man of God.
Chris Walsh?
Yes. And what a show God put up in that courtroom.
What happened?
He, my attorney, was every time he got up and spoke.
Who's he?
Chris Walsh, my attorney. Every time he got up in that courtroom to defend me, I felt God letting the jury know that I was innocent. Like, he would say things like, who calls the police after hitting the husband?
Called the police.
I called the police. I called the police. Yes. Yes. So
why did you call the police?
Because I was threatened by him that night when I called.
Threatened?
Yes. Yes. So, my attorney asked
him. The police had no business taking you to jail that night if you called the police.
But he had something on their forehead. I don't know what did he do, but he had something on their forehead that showing the police that I. He said that I hit him with a laptop. That's what he said. That's what he claimed. So there were like two bumps, or not even bumps, two red marks on his forehead. And then my attorney asked him, how did he get those bumps with the laptop? Did I hit him once or twice? Because there's two marks. Yeah. And then he didn't remember if it was once or twice or three times or four times. So when he starts saying things like that, I felt that I said, well, this man is just, I mean, he's in confusion. But that was God. That was totally God that made him say, you know,
once, twice, three times.
Yes, very confused. He was very confused. He wasn't keeping the testimony that he was carrying together. Then when it was my turn, I was able to say that he was an alcoholic. I was able to say that I asked for the divorce. I was able to say that he left me homeless and that I was still homeless. That I had no access to nothing. He changed all of the access to the account, everything. He left me with nothing. So the jury didn't take too long to find out that I was.
Did the judge make sure he paid you back the money and stuff?
We're still in that final stage. I'm still in that same situation.
Don't you settle.
Yes.
Or less. Mm-hmm. No.
Yes. Mm. So it's been a year, and I have.
That's terrible.
Yes, I have new attorneys that are helping me with the divorce. It's about to happen.
So what did the jury say then?
Not guilty.
And what did How did he react?
He was not there. He was just there to accuse me. Just for the first part of the trial, he went. He said that I hit him. That's when he was asked how many times. He had two marks on the forehead. He couldn't keep up with the questioning.
How about we arrest him now for causing the trouble?
But you know what? They never did anything like that. They
let him get away with it.
Just let him get away with that, which, what can we do?
Oh, but maybe the Lord will have his way. Yes. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Amen.
As long as you let it go, you forgave him.
Yes.
Now let's see what the Lord does.
Yes, I have.
To falsely accuse him, but it's terrible. Yes. But he is in the throes. He's still an alcoholic.
Yes.
The bad news is he'll probably die of that.
Yes, probably. That's sad. Yes. Yes.
Wow.
But you know, throughout this whole process, God has been so faithful. Everything that he said that he will do for me, for us, he has done it. And everything he says that he will be, he has been. I went on a trial.
He said he will be your husband. The Lord will be your husband.
The Lord, yes.
Yes.
He's just been so faithful. The Lord sent a lady to my house, not my house, but where I'm staying at the moment. He sent a lady with an envelope on a Monday before my trial. I went to trial on a Thursday. On Monday, a lady handed me an envelope, and she said that the church was praying for me, the church where I was congregating for many years in the past, and I serve as a Sunday school teacher for years. They came, they sent an envelope, and she said, Mary, we love you. We're praying for you, just so you know that we're not going to be all of us in person in the church, but we'll be fasting and praying that same day that you go to
trial. Did some come to the church? To the service?
Yes. So,
what was in the envelope?
I did not open the envelope that Monday. I had to go to court on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I did not want to open it. I was thinking, there's probably some money there. There's probably some letters from the kids that I used to, you know, be the Sunday school for.
So
I didn't
because you were
cry.
Involved in this, you weren't allowed to be a Sunday school teacher anymore?
No, I stopped being a Sunday school teacher for a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But this is a church. They remember when I was a Sunday school. They never forgot.
So what happens now?
So I have the envelope. I put it away. I told my friend, you know, I'm going to just put this away. I don't want to start crying if there's a letter there that will make me cry or anything. Mm. I just want to put it away. I'll deal with this when I finish all of this trial process. So I went to court on a Tuesday. I went to court on a Wednesday. On Thursday was my trial. I came out of trial acquitted. I mean, I was found not guilty. Yeah. They were celebrating, you know. The pastors, the chaplains, my friends were celebrating. But in my mind, I'm still thinking, this is great, but I owe money. Because now I have to pay the money that
lawyers.
I borrowed. Yes, to pay the lawyers. Anyways.
And how much
that
was that?
Well,
thousands?
I was paid, yes.
$10,000?
No. I spend more than $10,000 in lawyers at this point. But in this case, it was $4,000 to go to trial, just to take me to trial. $4,000 that I borrowed. When I opened that envelope, the money was there on Friday. I opened the envelope on Friday.
How much money?
The whole thing. It was there.
You mean the $10,000 or?
No, the four. I paid $4,000 to go to trial.
Yeah.
And God said that God said to me that we were going to go to trial. We went to trial. But he did not only brought me to trial and delivered me.
But they happened to put the right amount in there?
But they didn't know.
Oh, come on.
No. The money to pay.
Wow.
My attorney fees.
Now, how did you get yourself a home? Do you have a job now, or what are you doing?
No. I have been on disability for years now because of I had, well, three back surgeries, a cervical surgery. Mm. I was, like, not doing well. I'm doing better now. Praise the Lord. But the church has been helping me. By the grace of God, by the grace of the church, I've been like from house to house for a year now.
So you still don't have a place?
No, still don't have a place.
See.
And I could have gone, you know, I could be in Puerto Rico right now with my mother, with my sister. I could be waiting in Puerto Rico for this whole process to be over. Yeah. But God said no. He says, just wait here with your spiritual family. And he gave me a word in December. He says, do like Ruth. Do like Ruth. Just stay with, you know, with your spiritual family.
And what's
family.
The story with Ruth for people who don't know it? The quick version.
Ruth was a widow. And her mother-in-law was a widow, and she could have just gone home with her family. Being a widow and back then, hard just to be a widow and to be just woman. She could have just take that turn where she just go home, doesn't have to worry much. Her family probably could take care of her, but she decided to go with her mother-in-law to her mother-in-law's
land.
Is
that Naomi?
Yes. So she followed her mother-in-law, Naomi, and she decided to serve her and to stay with her. And she told Naomi that her people would be her people and her Lord, her God, will be her God. So God said to me to stay here with my spiritual family. So with my people, with their God, my God. So that's what I've been doing. And in faith, he has been providing. He has never left me.
And you're a prayer warrior.
Amen.
You have a gifting for prayer.
Amen.
Well, that's very important. That's very important.
Yes.
And, thank you for coming in today. Is there anything else we didn't talk about that you wanted to talk about?
I would like to share just, for people that are going through something very difficult, to stay in faith. Not forget that forgiveness will set you free. It's not about the other person being free. Sometimes they'll never come back and apologize, or they'll probably never be sorry of what they've done. We hope that they someday will, so they can be free. But it's about, forgiveness. Being free, stay in the Lord. And a word that the Lord gave me was to stay in worship.
Mm.
To stay in to worship, and when I see things going not the way I would like for them to go, to stay in worship.
Mm.
So very important. Yeah, stay in faith, forgive, and stay in worship.
Well, thank you for coming in here, Mary Calero.
Yes,
Calero. Thank you very much for coming in here. And the church you attend is
More to Life,
and it's in Fort Pierce, Florida.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. God bless.
Gloria, Señor Jesús, amigos.
Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
Get ready for a mouth-watering journey as Nana Morrison's Soul Food expands to Port St. Lucie. Voted North Carolina's best soul food restaurant, Nana Morrison's has been dishing out homemade cuisine for over a decade. Their new location is now open, 10234 Southwest Meeting Street, Port St. Lucie, in Tradition. Craving fried chicken, mac and cheese, or collard greens? Nana Morrison's Soul Food has something for everyone. Mark your calendars and be part of the grand opening celebration.
This is Hank Morrison, General Manager at Nana Morrison's Soul Food, now open, serving lunch and dinner every day. Come on in.